You are listening to San Juan Now, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Elaine Gisler, and this is San Juan Now, where we're giving you the inside scoop on San Juan County and connect you with the people making things happen. I would like to introduce my guest today and thank her for being here, Natalie Randall, who happens to be a Monticello resident. She's the executive director of the Utah Tourism Industry Association. I'm very excited that you're here with us, Natalie. Thank you for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to be here.
Thanks, Elaine. Happy to be here.
So I know that there is a lot happening with preparing for the major conference that is coming up, which I'm excited. We always look forward to going to the conference. And I know that you're dealing with the legislators and just everything that's happening kind of all at the same time. So we know how busy it is. And I really thank you again for coming here. So it's nice to sit and talk to you because we have I consider a long working relationship in this industry with my former position in Grand County, and you being in this position in San Juan County gave us a chance to really partner together and work together on some different projects. So now that I'm in your old position here and you're with UTIA, it's actually a pleasure to still work with you, but in a different way.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think that something that was so helpful for me when I was in San Juan County with the Department of Economic Development and Tourism was to know that I had the collaboration with you up in Grand County, and that us as a region, Southeastern Utah, often we term it the redheaded stepchild of the state.
So true.
Or the Utah frontier, as we started to term it. It's hard to find allies and it's hard to find friends. So the more you can band together as county partners, as business partners, whatever it might be, it helps to move the needle so much.
Yeah, that's true. So I know you've been living here in Monticello for quite some time. Your family's here, but you're not originally from here.
No, I'm not. So I grew up in Virginia, Northern Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. in the Beltway, and ended up, long story short, coming out west for school, university, completed that, and then was living in Salt Lake City, eventually met my husband, Dustin, and after we dated and after a few years of being married, we started talking about he wanted to start a guiding business, and he'd been guiding, had done certifications, various layers to try to work towards guiding as a career, and suddenly just it's so hard to break it into that industry. And so he started looking into this region and he was like, man, I grew up in San Juan County. I grew up in Monticello, Indian Creek's in my backyard, this amazing trad, climbing, biking, all of this outdoor
all
adventure.
Right here, right?
All right here. Mm-hmm. And he spent his childhood chasing cattle. So, and then he left to go experience all those great outdoor adventure activities. And everybody would always say, where are you from? They'd find out where he was from and they'd be like, why are you here visiting? Why aren't you back home doing that? And so that's kind of what led him to start his guiding business down here. And eventually we were going back and forth between Salt Lake and Monticello. And then finally just made the move. And now it's been almost 8 years that we've been down here. Back, I don't know anywhere else to call home at this point.
What a great community, though. And you have a son who's adorable. Yep. He's what?
Five now. Oh, wow. Five in July.
Wow. Yeah. Starting kindergarten, I would imagine. So that's good. Well, it's a great community. It's so all about family and friendships. And I love living here in Monticello. I moved here in December and it's the best thing that I found just living in San Juan County and especially living here in Monticello. And we have such a diverse county when it comes to not only the people, but the landscape.
Right.
You can be anywhere in just a matter of, you know, a short time, whether it's the desert or, as you said, trails. You can be in the mountains. So there's so much to offer in San Juan County. I could understand why Dustin would want to have his guiding business here and bring people here from all over the world who could see this amazing place.
Right. I think a unique opportunity too as well. Like we always joke, number one export out of San Juan County is our children. And so any opportunity to be able to find a way to come back, whether it's starting a business, whether it's working for an existing organization, I think every San Juan County export wants to find a way back.
And that is what I am really trying to work on for the San Juan community is how do we keep all of our kids here?
Right.
How do we keep them near family and near friends so that they don't have to live somewhere else? So, and I think if we can all work toward that end, it will really make it happen. So tell us a little bit more about your background. You've been in tourism, and prior to that, you were in school.
Yeah, so after moving down here, I started in the Parks and Recreation Department with the city, and that evolved into, as you know, there's few people in the exactly. community, so many people wear many hats, right? Should rephrase that. And so quickly got thrown into the community planning, community development aspects, working on broader outdoor recreation, working on, you know, broad partnerships as well. In San Juan County, majority public lands. And so critical to build those relationships for both the municipalities and the counties.
And you had trails, correct?
We worked on trails. We developed about 14 miles after you loop everything together of trails within the city limits that connect right up to the Forest Service boundary, intended for maybe slightly some of the visitors just to stretch their legs, but really more so for the residents in the community to be able to have another amenity, another asset to build their quality of life in the area. So people walk on those trails, they'll bike on those trails. The cross-country team has used them for various races and things.
Oh, wow, that's great.
So kind of a cool project to work through as well. So that kind of evolved, I mean, with all of those layers, and then shifted into, eventually was there for 3 years and then shifted into the county when they recruited me to come over the tourism and economic
development. And that's great because you already had a clear indication of what was involved in the city,
right,
and what the needs were and how you could help it from a county perspective. So that's awesome. That really, you know, gave you a good benefit. So now you've transitioned a year, it's been a little over a year now, right? 18 yeah. months, I guess, into UTIA, which is the Utah Tourism Industry Association. So I think the majority of our listeners and residents in San Juan County probably have no idea what that is. So maybe if you could give us an overview of what the organization is and what it does.
For sure. So ultimately the organization, we look at ourselves as the voice of the visitor industry, primarily focusing on promoting the visitor economy, further developing it, growing it, while also layering that with quality of life in communities. I think that mission statement is relatively packed in the sense that a lot of the business community in the state, they're also Utah-based residents, and they want to continue to grow and build better communities that they also live in. And really a great mechanism to do it through developing the visitor product. So that's how that mission has evolved. We have two pillars in the organization to educate and advocate. We're most known for the advocacy work that we do. So all the work that we do at Capitol Hill, both at the state and the federal level, the engagement that we have with legislators. But I always say at the end of the day, it goes back to educating our partners. If our partners are well educated and well versed in what the visitor economy means, the taxes that are a result of the visitor economy, how those taxes are then reinvested into communities, that makes our role up on the Hill so much easier because then we have advocates throughout the state that can help share that message.
Right. And I know a lot of the legislation can get confusing
right.
to the normal, you know, person down here in the trenches. But you have done a great job, especially during the last legislative session where there had been so many changes with TRT and just all of the taxes and how we as marketing, you know, DMOs and working in the economic development tourism offices, how we now have to look at dividing up those funds based on the legislation that was passed. And it can be quite daunting, but I think the charts that you put together, the explanations that you put together really help to bring it more into focus because it can get very complicated.
Yeah, there's so many acronyms in the industry. I think if we're looking at, for example, the TRT or the transient room tax, that's a tax placed on any lodging that's under 30 days. There's a city level one at a 1% that cities can use to be reinvested into their general fund. So a great opportunity for cities that have lodging properties in their communities to then take those dollars generated and put them to good use as needed in their communities. At the county level, there's a percent that's collected. It varies depending on what county you're in, but that's where you get into a lot of the nuances. Ultimately, it's best known for establishing and promoting the visitor economy. So that's traditionally where some of the marketing budgets come from, but also those layers of developing your destination or your visitor product. That's also, though, where you see some of the mitigation or the management, the visitor management come from as well. So those dollars help to support search and rescue, emergency medical services, landfill. There's quite a layer into that of where those dollars go.
Right. And I think the general population of a county doesn't really understand how important that TRT is. We collect 4.25% here in San Juan County, but how that also helps to bring revenue into these areas for mitigation. And it's really important when I look at the amount of TRT that we collect as a county and all counties, it really makes a tremendous difference in adding those funds back into the community to help.
Right. No, for sure. I think when you look at it too, you think about that, you talk about how it generates additional revenue. A layer of that county transient room tax can be used to further invest into amenities that are associated with the visitor economy. So you could think of things like convention centers or community centers, art centers, things like that, where then communities can take that amenity and then continue to build further tax base as well, whether it's from bringing in events, whether it's from bringing in other layers like that or conferences too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it really does have such a positive impact on the communities. So I know you would love to have as many businesses around the state as possible to join UTIA. What would be the benefit to the businesses to join the organization?
Yeah, so I mean, from the layer of advocacy work, it would be ultimately supporting those conversations around advocacy. Currently, we've talked about transient room tax, the conversations that happen on the Hill of how do we continue to have that reinvested into the visitor economy and supporting those layers of quality of life. There's this added layer of, for example, to statewide transient room tax that contributes to all the outdoor recreation projects that go on throughout the state. So there's that piece. There's also the piece of all of the education that occurs as well. We have a high school hospitality program that's offered throughout the state. It's funded by this statewide transient room tax, so it's no cost for the school district to onboard it. I believe San Juan County School District, specifically Monticello, had it onboarded pre-pandemic, but with all of the layers of the pandemic, weren't able to follow through on that.
And we're trying to have a conversation to see if that's something that can be brought into the school district again, because it's such a worthy program for the students and for the schools. So I think, and the fact that it's at no cost benefit. So I think if we can, we have to have that conversation with the superintendent and everyone involved to see how we can get that implemented here in San Juan County.
Oh yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for the students to be able to, even if it's from the perspective of just any type of business, not just tourism focused or visitor service focused, but if they're looking to be an entrepreneur in any way, shape, or form, it provides a great baseline for them. So that's another great resource. Additionally, we do quite a bit of on-the-ground training and engagement as businesses are looking to further build their product. The public-private partnerships, we have members that are in state government and county government, but then we also have various business members too, and how to help build those relationships. We navigate that with that stakeholder engagement. And then we also have what we're probably best known for, two key events, the Utah Tourism Conference, which is coming up in September in Vernal this year. And then we also have Tourism Day on the Hill, which during the legislative session, we bring all of the tourism-based businesses up to Capitol Hill, get them connected with their legislators and help them to have meaningful, engaging conversations with all of their elected officials.
And I've had the opportunity to participate in both of those events, and they're very well worth it. I think they're both different, but I think if there's a chance for communities or counties to participate, definitely should take advantage of it. Now, we're looking forward to the conference in Vernal. I know that you've got a jam-packed agenda. I don't know if you've got any highlights that you'd like to talk about that might be coming up for the conference.
Yeah, definitely. This year for the conference, typically we look at tracks. We've adjusted that this year and we've taken all of our content and adjusted it to audiences. So looking at whether you're a county-based visitor service tourism office, whether you're a chamber, whether you're a private business, lodging, food and beverage, guide and outfitter, whether you're a public land manager, whatever it might be, there's a piece of the conference content that's been selected for you to attend.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You're taking a slightly different approach to than just a one size kind of fits all.
Right.
That's great. I think that's really great.
And so with that content build out, there's everything from the Global Sustainability and Tourism Council coming out. I know you did quite a bit with them in your prior role.
I did, and really was happy to bring that to Grand County with sustainability and educating the visitor. And I think it's even more important now, as we've seen that grow around the world with all different cities and different countries and more cities around the U.S. getting involved. So that's exciting.
Yeah. So Kelly Bricker will be there. She'll do two sessions, one specifically for businesses and how they look at the GSTC model, and then one for destinations and how they look at that GSTC model and implement. We'll have conversations. We are bringing in the hospitality lawyer, Steve Barth, who's out of Texas. He'll speak directly to the hospitality industry on what key legal issues they should be aware of. Additionally, we're bringing in Leave No Trace to talk about some of the recreate responsibly elements and how the state's implementing things, but then how at a local level, business level, you can also implement those elements. We'll have some great panels from businesses talking about ROI from having events, from looking at sports and convention type business. So it's kind of a gamut for any type of partner in the tourism industry.
That's great. And it's good to see that the state is really jumping into the global sustainability. I believe I was one of the first ones in the state to took the course and joined when I was in Grand County. And it was very interesting. I learned an awful lot, and I was happy to start implementing that program into educating visitors and talking about sustainability, and created some different programs. So I hope we'll be able to do some of those eventually here in San Juan County. But that's exciting. And what are the dates for the tourism conference, and where, if people want to register to go, where would they go?
Yeah, so dates for the tourism conference, really the core content are September 29th through the 30th. There's some ancillary activities occurring the 27th and the 28th as well. And if they want any more information about the tourism conference, just visit www.utahtourismconference.com.
How exciting. Well, we're looking forward to being there. So let's talk about San Juan County and tourism. What do you think sets San Juan County apart from other destinations in Utah?
It's interesting, and maybe there's a bias here as well that might exist, both one from living here and continuing to be a resident, but also maybe having had the position before where one of my roles was to encourage visitation to come to San Juan County. So I'm biased to say it's one of the best destinations in the state, even with all of my current travel throughout the state. But honestly, I think it goes back to the diversity. And I know you touched on this a little bit earlier in our conversation, but few other places in the state that you can easily access and find going from 10,000 feet all the way down to desert river level. So you can be skiing in the winter. There's some great backcountry skiing all the way down to rafting the San Juan or going down to Lake Powell and enjoying the water down there. Red Rock, I mean, from Monticello where we're at right now, 7,000 feet, and then being able to drop down to beautiful desert red rock country in Indian Creek going down towards the Needles District. I mean, just the diversity of yes. what we have to offer here, that's what I think makes it unique.
I agree. And I think coming from Pennsylvania, I really can relate to being here in Monticello because of all the green and all the trees and the mountains, because we have a lot of that. Of course, the highest mountain range in Pennsylvania, I think, is 3,000 feet. So this is quite a departure from that. Right. But it's nice to know that in an hour's drive, you can be in a completely different landscape. So I think we're very fortunate in San Juan County to have the diversity of the people, the culture, the history, and then also of the landscape. So I wanted to talk about Bears Ears because I'm very excited to be focusing on how we're getting information out to visitors and educating them on Bears Ears. And I know you were involved early on through all the changes, but maybe you can just talk about Bears Ears and what you find so interesting about it and what the benefits are to having that national monument here in San Juan County.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to Bears Ears. I think you can't be remiss without starting at the start of the conversation, which the original intent for the creation of the Bears Ears National Monument was to protect antiquities, specifically around the Native American mm-hmm. culture that exists here. Multiple tribes are represented throughout right. the region. And so just that piece alone, the culture, the heritage, the connection that so many of those individuals have to the community, I think that's the first point to be made. I think the positive there with that is in identifying that, we've also received additional resources to help with things like our state park. So like Edge of the Cedar State Park, a hidden gem in the state.
Magnificent place to visit.
But has, archaeologists on staff, have experts on staff who are able to look at the antiquities that come out of the monument and then be able to find ways to showcase and educate visitors on those resources. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was probably like a key thing out of the monument that I always think of is what came out of that layer. We also know that the Bears Ears Education Center came out of that as well. Yes. Another great education site of not only the archaeological pieces, but also the geographical elements within the monument as well. And then I think the other piece, too, as far as, the other benefits that can come from the Bears Ears National Monument will come with the connection to the public land managers and from the federal government, as at a local areas, we continue to find ways to get support from them and build the staff to help further develop the monument as visitors start to come. One of the hardest things that I faced, and I know you are facing as well, is so many people want to come to visit Bears Ears, but they don't know where to go.
I know.
They know the buttes, the two Bears Ears, which are actually the last places you should probably send them to visit. There's so many other great
sites. We get calls in the office where visitors say, where is the entrance to Bears Ears? Right. And we try to explain that there is not actually an entrance, not like Arches or Canyonlands. So, and try to give them some good guidance. But I think we're working on a lot of additional content that we're going to be putting up on the website. And I really think it's going to be wonderful to have all that involvement and just the culture and the history. So we're really, really, really excited about that. Is there anything that you think we could improve on with tourism here in San Juan County?
I always think of tourism for San Juan County that I think you have to go back to the connection that tourism provides in further building out your economic development or business development plan and model and potential. So tourism, I think you kind of look at it as your, what would you call it? Your curbside appeal, like for your house, right? And that's what your tourism product really is for San Juan County.
Exactly.
We talked about why San Juan County is such a great place to visit. It's so unique. There's all of these layers. That's your curbside appeal. But that's just the start to the community development and the economic development and all those other things to help build a sustainable community where all of those exports can come back, the children can return, the kids that are growing up here can stay. Maybe they go and leave for their life experience and then they know they can come back to San Juan County. But building that overall strategy for community development and economic development, I think that's the benefit of tourism for the community. So I don't know about necessarily anything better per se, but I think that the perspective as you're looking at building out your visitor model and then also your broader economic development model and how they both play together.
So when you're a tourist here in San Juan County, what do you do? What are the hidden gems? What do you like to do? What do you and your family like to do on the weekends?
Me and my family and what we do is different probably from what I would take like my friends to go and do. So maybe there's two sides to this.
Okay.
So if I have a friend that's coming down to visit San Juan County that hasn't come for the first time, without fail, we'll take them to go see Newspaper Rock on their way down towards Canyonlands. So that's, I mean, a great entry point there. And then also, of course, take them to Natural Bridges National Monument, Hovenweep National Monument.
All those key points,
which yeah. still aren't highly visited.
I know. Sometimes I've gone out there and my husband and I will be the only two people there.
Right.
Which is good, you know, in a way. But
definitely,
it would be great if more people could come and experience that.
And those sites are established. They're ready to see visitors. We have great park staff out there that can help educate visitors to ensure that, you know, they're visiting in a responsible way and they're educated on what they're observing and seeing after they go into the backcountry as they try to explore some more of the trails on their own. As far as like when I'm with my family, like with Dustin and with Roman, we love biking a lot. So we'll spend quite a bit of time on some of the single track trails. I think some of the hidden gems here are like Robertson's Pasture, which is just on the Abajos. It's this beautiful single track. It's open to motorists as well as mountain bikers and equestrians and hikers. And you get a great view into the Needles District of Canyonlands. And then
The views from up there are stunning. And I hope, you know, to do more of that. And I'm anxious for fall coming to see changing of the leaves and see what it looks like up in the Abajos.
Oh, yeah.
This
beautiful
fall.
Country.
I cannot wait. So I want to thank you for, I know your schedule is so busy. I want to thank you for coming. And I also want to thank the listeners for tuning in and following us on Facebook and Instagram at Utah's Canyon Country or San Juan County Economic Development and Visitor Services. And also, if you have a question, you can always go to yoursanjuancountynow.com and leave us a voice message. We would really love to hear from you. Natalie, we could talk for hours. I know at least I could. So I'm going to have you back. And maybe we'll come back together after the legislative session in the spring and give the listeners an update on some of the bills that were passed and some of the conversations. And if you have any other recommendations for, you know, topics that we could bring to San Juan County residents, because San Juan County Now is really to enlighten our residents about what's happening here in San Juan County, what's happening in the state that impacts San Juan County.
Yeah, I would be happy to.
That would be fantastic. Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Glad you live in the same town that I do. Now we're together. I appreciate you again and all that you do and all the hard work. I know you work from morning till night. I see the emails in the wee hours of the morning, but I appreciate all the detail, your attention to detail and everything you do to make our jobs easier out here in the field. So thank you.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thanks for listening to San Juan Now, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Elaine Gisler and produced by Relic.